Eastland with Martin Besser.
Bastille now, shut up the lights. Tino Sieve, Maandag Ochend. Welcome, as you pass ingeskakel het. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think most South Africans, you know, would probably agree you feel less safe as the days go by when you hear about the horrors that happen to South Africans in the news. I mean, the rest of the world also have their problems, but it's become pretty commonplace here that you're not safe anywhere. Last report there, as you heard in the news, family restaurant, people taking the kids out at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night, you know, and the next thing they're armed robbers. In this particular case, something had happened on a stretch of road a couple of Saturdays ago. Is a couple were victim of what we call spiking. So either with spikes on the road or just rocks, they want you to pull over. And that is where you get robbed, or even worse. On the line right now, and Xefia, bye-bye, thank you for your tijd, and that you're Elena saam met ons, Joannette Kidson van Rustenburg. Have you net goeie morgen?
Goeie morgen, Martin, hoe gaan dit?
Goed, dank je, en jy?
Ons gaan het dag voor dag, dat is die beste wat ons kan doen.
Ek is seker daarvan, en net eerstens, my innige medelye, ons dink aan julle, regtig wat ons doen, het is net absoluut skokkend gewees,
of is wat
met jou man gebeur het. Dit is al 'n paar saterdae terug, so jy is op die pad gewees op die N4, en soos ek het verstaan is daar so by die R512 afrit, min of meer daar, wat jy toe na die klippe in die pad getref het, as ek reg.
Weet jy, dit was die hele end voor daai afrit, en hy het maar aangeraai so ver as wat hy kon, en toe ons nou nie meer kon nie, toe hy na by die R512 rit aftrek, ja.
En op daai stadium toe jy die klippe getref het, was jy so spesieus gewees?
As ek dood eerlijk met jy mag wees, ja en nee, mens is nie naïef oor wat in die land aangaan nie, en sy woorde aan my was gewees, dat my vrou is nie veilig en ons kan nie stop nie. So hy was bewus en hy het, jy weet, hy het gedoen wat hy kon. Hy het gerei tot waar hy kon. So ja, seker maar in 'n mate, as ek so kan sê, Martin.
And it was yourself in the car, your husband and also your 1-year-old baby?
Yes, that's correct.
And he drove as far as he could and then eventually pulled over or came to a stop and then tried to change the tyre.
Yes.
So hy was buiten die kar gewees en jy was binnen die kar gewees.
Ja, weet jy, ek was op stadium, was ek buiten saam met hom in die kar, want ek het hom probeer help met te lig met die selfoon.
Natuurlijk.
En toe op stadium, toe ons achter by die kattebak was, by die boot was, toe het hy gesê, hy hoor ons toch dat jy huil, en ek het natuurlijk in die kar teruggeklim, die deur toegemaak, en ek het gekyk en sy het nie gehuil nie, en ek het maar die dummy in haar mond probeer terugsit, en toe ek gehoor hoe hy begin pleit het vir ons lewens en alles, en dan jy het onmiddellik geweet wat gaan aan.
En was jy, die motordeure was gesluit op haar stadium?
Ja, al die deure behalwe my voordeur, omdat ek het pas in die kar geklim.
Natuurlik, ja.
Ja.
En dis waar hom oorval het en where that horrible, horrible thing happened. And I'm so, so sorry about that.
Thank you, Martin.
And there were three of them, and then they obviously, they tried to come after you and your baby, which is just horrendous.
Yeah, well, he was in the front, at the front left side of the vehicle, where I also was in the vehicle, and then two men came on the left side and one on the right side, and one held him, you know, gunpoint, and the other one opened my door, the other one opened, hit with what I'm assuming was a firearm on the window, and they all just started shouting, and he asked me to, my husband then, to just take Annabelle and get out, and so, you know, when they opened the door on my side, I guess that's when he, you know, interceded and tried to help, so that's also when they shot him.
And that they tried to take your baby?
Yes, they tried to pull me. They pulled me and my baby out of the car, and while I was holding her, they tried to they tried pulling her off of me. So I just went and, you know, he was shot at that stage and he was lying on the ground, and I just basically put her between us and lied on top of her to, you know, to maybe just, you know, some sort of, you know, some sort of protection. Yeah.
And then they eventually left.
Well, they took from the vehicle what they could, and something must have scared them off because they left a few stuff like a laptop and a few stuff, and yeah, they ran across the road, and that's only when they were across the road when I got up and started, well, looking for help.
I'm so sorry, and at the same time grateful that you're okay, and your baby daughter at this stage, well, physically anyway. I can't imagine the trauma that you've gone through and you're still dealing with. And for me, you know, also shocking is that wasn't the first incident like that.
No, and you know what? Apparently there was another one that morning, and we were unaware. We were completely unaware of it. We didn't see anything on social media, and you know, so there was. I can assure you that if we knew, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have stopped no matter what, you know.
That is just so insane to think that there was another incident like that morning, and that wasn't even news.
En
ek het gehoor dat daar 'n paar dae later was daar weer eens so 'n geval gewees.
Ja.
Is dit nie verskriklik nie?
Nee, en wanneer is dit genoeg? Wanneer hou dit op? Jy weet, when's enough enough? Something about it.
Nee, die vader alleen weet, Johanet, en dink jy by yourself, dat is heel moontlik dieselfde mans, because it's the same spot,
yeah.
Three times in the space of a week or so. Absolutely shocking, and they do the same thing. And all that for a cell phone and stuff or whatever.
That's what I was going to say. It feels like it wasn't just robbery. You know, it wasn't just they weren't there for robbing us. You know, because they could have taken everything. And he said it. He told them, you know, you can have everything. Take everything. Just please leave us alone. And they didn't. They didn't want the car. They didn't want. There was a small cell phone left in the car. There was a laptop left in the car. So many valuable stuff. That what they took, two cell phones and three bags with clothes, you know, it's just why shoot somebody? Why shoot somebody in the head, you know, which is possibly a fatal, you know, shot where you could have just, if you wanted to stop somebody, if you know your firearm laws and stuff, you could have stopped somebody by shooting them somewhere else. And if it's just why do that? Why do this to families? Why leave families like this?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Johanet, pause for a second. Maybe you want to take a sip of water or coffee. And then we'll come back in a moment. And I do appreciate it. I'm so grateful. Ek so dankbaar dat jy die story deel. Ek weet dit is verskriklik moeilik, maar terselfdertyd ook is dit dalk net tyd dat mense hierdie stories hoor van mense wat daar's drie gevalle gewees in 'n week.
And you know, it's not going to bring any one of them back. It's not going to bring my husband back, but it might just stop it from happening to another family, you know.
Bless you. Stay right there if you don't mind. We're back in a moment. Thank you so much, Johanet Kitson, from the Rustenburg area. And you probably heard the story in our news as well. Lost her husband, Sinaloosa. Cruel, shocking incident. One of many in our country. More coming up. Hey, wake up, wake up.